Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. At long last, it is Friday. It is the 7th of August, 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday.
Yeah, and I'm sure everybody can guess why Andrew's here on a Friday. Also with me today, I have Jeff Butts. Hi, Jeff.
What up?
Right. So, Andrew, you are here for Security Friday. And what is our first bit of Security Friday news?
So this happened just yesterday. Intel suffered a data leak. Someone on Twitter posted a link to a mega cloud link to a 20 gigabyte folder of some of their confidential data. And it's a lot of data, 20 gigs. Yeah. And it contains stuff like their source code for various platforms, some of their development and debugging tools, product roadmaps and other related documents like that, schematics, like it's just a whole bunch of stuff. So they're obviously investigating.
Yeah, imagine that. So like there's an upside, but the upside to this one is that it was mostly not people's personal information. It's not like if you ever bought an Intel computer, they've got your name and address or anything like that. This is more internal company information that it would be better if other people who were not at Intel did not have, which is not the same thing. It is definitely a data leak. It's definitely not great that all this made it out of Intel somehow. The good news is that for the most part, it probably doesn't affect you personally, whoever you are who are listening to this podcast. If you're an Intel person who's affected by this, we would definitely like to hear from you. Observations@macobserver.com. So that was one thing yesterday that we found out about. And like corporate security is a whole other thing. I'm sure there are other podcasts you can listen to about corporate security and data practices that are important if you want to make sure stuff like this doesn't happen to you. So, yeah, that was an interesting thing, mostly because it was so much data. Like you said, there haven't been a lot of highlights or anything out of it that people have gone through. Because there's just so much to find out, like, yeah, here's like some interesting thing that we found out that Intel never completed work on or anything like that. We haven't seen a bunch of that yet. So
right.
I'm sure we will as it comes out.
Right, because the hackers are still weeding through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have even more information than that. That was just the first news tidbit as we looked at yesterday and went, gosh, I'm not sure we have enough news for Security Friday. So what else do we have, Andrew?
So on the consumer side, this week LastPass introduced some updates. I specifically highlighted one of them. So they now can scan your, similar to other services like Have I Been Pwned, which is probably the most well-known one. They can now scan your email address against third-party databases of breached credentials.
Nice.
So if one of your emails in LastPass has been found in that database, you'll be alerted and told to, maybe you should change this.
Yeah, that's good information. That's similar to a feature that 1Password has, which is Watchtower, which will tell you this email address, like this login has been has shown up in this data breach, or you've used the same password over again. Watchtower takes care of a bunch of different things like that to make it possible for you to make sure you're keeping your data safe. So that's always a good idea. And I think we have one more news tidbit for today. I could be completely wrong
there. Yeah. Okay. So first we covered corporate stuff. Mm-hmm. Then we covered consumer stuff. Now it's time for the government.
Oh, Lord.
Also this week, the NSA released a short guide about warning about location data on your phones and some things you can do to stop your location from being leaked by some of these, or leaked and collected by some apps. Mm-hmm. And it's like things that we've probably talked about before. For example, they say you should disable location services settings on your device, disable Bluetooth and turn off Wi-Fi when you're not using them, install as few apps as possible, do as few web browsing as possible, just things like that.
Okay. So some real basic level stuff. That's probably all stuff that we covered when we started going, you know what would be awesome if like once a week we just talked about security stuff on Mac Observer? That's probably the level of stuff that we're talking about here. I did glance through it and it seemed like a lot of common sense kind of information. Some, like, if you stop and think about it, that makes a lot of sense kind of things. Nothing particularly tricky. And, of course, nothing about how to make sure that the NSA can't track you down. I did joke about the NSA's guide to keeping safe is that they say to just email all your passwords to the NSA. They'll keep them safe.
We're from the government and we're here to take care of you.
Yeah, you could trust us. So, so that's basically what we've got for kind of standard issue security news for today. Jeff, you are here to talk to us about something called Clario.
Right. Clario launched in June, I believe it was. And Clario is a lot like services like LifeLock.
Okay.
They're available for macOS, iOS, and Android. They're planning to release an app for Windows as well, but that's down the road a piece. Right now, I haven't had a chance to look at the Mac part of it yet, but on iOS, what you guys were just talking about with LastPass and 1Password monitoring your email for data breaches. That's one of the features that Clario has on iOS. And it works really well. When the Dave app got breached, Clario immediately notified me that my personal email address, I needed to change my password.
Oh, wow.
So I did. I change my passwords once a month anyways, just a standard practice. But
sure.
I did that one early just to be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, on iOS, Clario also offers VPN, private location-based browsing. So you can have your VPN running, but still say you're over in London for a weekend, but you still want to get your Netflix fix in the US, you just tell Clario to mark you down as surfing from the US and boom, it works.
All right.
And it also offers a really good ad blocking feature that blocks pop-ups and a lot of the ads that will show up.
Interesting.
What's really interesting is, well, a couple of things. First of all, Clario is, they're not recreating, they're not rebuilding the wheel. They're packaging NordVPN. So you've got solid, tried and true VPN services. But the way they do it is, You, Kelly, and Andrew, and I, we can understand all this VPN stuff and HTTPS and, PGP. Average Joe user doesn't. So Clario simplifies all of that. And it allows you to just, it just explains to you, this is what we're going to do, and this is why we're going to do it. And then if you have some other concerns about the security of any of your devices, including like your Amazon Echo Dot or whatever, they have a team of over 600 experts that are available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you just tap on what can I help you with, start typing, and they connect you with a live person, no chat bot, straight to a live person to help walk you through resolving whatever security concern you're having. In plain English, not technobabble.
Awesome. That sounds super useful. If nothing else, being able to turn a pretty standard security practice into something that anybody can follow along with is always really important. That's part of what we try to do here by talking to people about VPNs and password managers and data breaches and things, is making sure that the people who listen to us, who are tech support for their friends and families, have a good explanation, or even better, in some cases, we try to put it forth as like, okay, you have a bunch of questions. Just go listen to this podcast and come back in 20 minutes and I will answer all your questions at that point. So hopefully we're doing that for some of you.
Absolutely. And, you know, on the macOS side, they'll also monitor your credit history, your social security number, your bank logins, that sort of thing. And they tell me that in a couple of weeks, that's rolling out to the iOS app as well. And I reviewed the iOS app a couple of days ago, and I'm working on testing out the macOS app, and I'll be posting a review of that in a week or two.
That sounds great. We are always looking for things like this where people have, particularly where a company has a good security practice or is a good security company and is really helpful in these kind of ways, like having people on the phone that can explain things to you in plain English.
Right.
If you are using a particular security tool that really works for you and improves something in a material way for you, we definitely want to hear about it. We always want to spotlight those, especially on Security Friday. So you can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. So those are all things you can do. We have one tiny more. Let me try that again. We have one more small thing. Andrew, you recently wrote up a tip about headphones, and we keep meaning to talk about it. About something cool in iOS 14 with headphone accommodations.
Yeah, so I found this out in, like you said, iOS 14. It works with AirPods and I think Beats headphones as well. I don't know if it's certain models of Beats or all of them.
Okay.
And it's an accessibility feature. That's where you'll find it. I tell you where to find it in my article. And it lets you kind of tune the default audio to more of your liking. For example, you tap on it and then you'll just follow the instructions on screen. Like, listen to this clip of audio, listen to this clip, which ones, they're tuned for different things, and you just choose which ones you like better. And you do that three times. And you can do that for, maybe you want to increase the, what they call the brightness or the higher frequencies of audio. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can tune it to make sure that you're hearing voices correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a setting called the balance tone, which I think is just a mix of all three of those.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that works for everything, right? Like all the audio that you listen to in your headphones?
Yep. Okay. All the audio on your phone gets its settings changed.
Did you test that with AirPods?
No, I don't have AirPods. The only thing I have are my AirPods.
Okay. I'm gonna test that with AirPods today.
I'm curious to see what you get. The reason I was asking about it being all the audio or not is because there is the EQ setting in the music app on your phone that you can use for different stuff, but that will only apply to music. So if you're listening to audiobooks or podcasts or, talking on the phone or something, and the audio quality there is the thing that you're trying to solve, then the EQ in iTunes or in the music app or whatever, that's not going to do very much for, my podcasts all sound terrible. So if you want to adjust that a little bit, you can use this tip. Once we get iOS 14, that will be a thing that's available to you.
Yeah. That's awesome, because that's, as we get older, men especially, we tend to lose either our lower range or our upper range, depending on how annoyed we get with our wives. No, it's weird. I'm like, I've been losing lower range, but some really, really high range are just painful now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just part of getting older. So this sounds like it would help with that tremendously.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And especially if you, you know, with any audio. So if there's something that you listen to, you know, regularly, perhaps it's a podcast from the Mac Observer and you have a hard time with the theme or something, then this may be something that helps even some of that out for you. So that definitely sounds like something that we will dig into further as iOS 14 becomes something that people can go out and install more easily and start to use. So now Andrew has been digging into some of these. I feel compelled to point out that the public beta is out there. This is not a thing that you still don't want to put this on your daily driver. Because you never know what's going to happen with all the other stuff that you use on your device. So it's not 100% that installing the public beta will break everything, but it's also not 100% that it will break nothing. So if there's stuff that you rely on your iOS devices, then you may want to put this on your iPad, because if something goes wrong, people can still call you and you can still text folks and whatever. There's definitely, like, I feel like we have to put that asterisk out there occasionally. Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, we are on public beta 4. That just dropped the other day.
Yeah.
And generally, the betas get more stable as they
do
get closer to the official release. Mm-hmm. But it's still kind of, this is at your own risk.
Yeah. Even so, every time I install a beta, I put on my I Void Warranties t-shirt.
Yes, that is completely valid and the right thing to do.
You know, that's my good luck talisman. It makes sure that I don't blow up my phone or my iPad or my Mac.
Yeah, well, we've seen some of the betas do bad things on a fundamental level, but we've also seen it happen, to particular things. Like there was an iOS update that took away, I know some people will not think that this was a bug, took away the ability to use the phone app on your phone, which some people find kind of important still. So, you know, it's kind of good if your phone could make phone calls.
And some people wouldn't have even noticed.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, were sad when they brought it back. that's a separate conversation. But particularly if you rely on apps, and even more particularly if you rely on third-party apps, because first-party apps will crash. There are times when, you know, you open it up and, like, every third time you launch messages, it crashes out on you and you have to restart your phone or something. So, like, there's always weird stuff that happens with the betas. If you're going to use them, we're still kind of at the, for the love of Pete, don't put it on your daily driver stage, because even the public betas are only at beta 4. So make sure that you keep that in mind if you decide to venture into the part of the iOS map that just says here be dragons. So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you want to give us feedback on Security Friday or recommend topics or tools to us, you can do that by emailing observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. So, Jeff, thanks for coming by today.
Thanks for having me.
And as always, Andrew, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yes, please do. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.